I want to ask for your prayers today as I stand before you. If you have your... Let's remember that. If you have your Bibles and would like to read along with me, I'd ask you to turn to Genesis chapter 30. I want to read a lesson from Genesis chapter 30, beginning with verse 25. Genesis chapter 30, verse 25. And it came to pass, when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said unto Laban, Send me away, that I may go unto mine own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children, for whom I have served thee, and let me go. For thou knowest my service which I have done thee. And Laban said unto him, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And he said, Appoint me thy wages, and I will give it. And he said unto him, Thou knowest how I have served thee, and how thy cattle was with me. For it was little which thou hadst before I came, and it is now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord has blessed thee since my coming, and now when shall I provide for mine own house also? And I want to stop reading there with verse 30. The title of my message is very simple, and this is the thought that this has been on my heart, it seems, all week. This is what the Lord has given me to try to convey before you here this morning. And the title I want to use is just simply, Thank God for You. In the 27th verse of Genesis 30, where I read from, Jacob was ready to leave. He was ready to go. He was ready to take what he had gotten there, and he was ready to set out. And Laban didn't want him to leave. He wanted him to tarry. He wanted him to stay. Laban said, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thine eyes, tarry, for I have learned by experience that the Lord hath blessed me for thy sake. And I believe that Laban had benefited in his life from his association with Jacob. He had benefited from knowing him. He had been blessed for the years that they had spent together. And I'm not going to go too much into it. I believe that most of you know the account of that. If you don't, then I would encourage you to study and read about the dealings of Laban with Jacob and Jacob with Laban. Read about the things that transpired between the two of them. They had actually been together because of Laban's deception. They had actually been together for a lot more years than what they were originally supposed to be. But nevertheless, I believe that it had become very obvious to this man. And if we look in verse 30, we even find Jacob speaking about it, for it was little. Well, he said, you know how I've served you and how thy cattle was with me. It was little that you had before I came, and it's now increased unto a multitude. And the Lord has blessed thee since my coming. And now, when shall I provide for mine own house also? And so, you know, I'm persuaded that Laban really knew that that this was in fact true, that he had been blessed greatly by having been around Jacob for these years and knowing him for these years. And that's what I'd really like for you to think about today. I'm persuaded that, we all, as God's children, we have so much to be thankful for. And I'm sure that from time to time that we go before our God and there we give him thanks for various things. We thank him for clothing. We thank him for food. We thank him for shelter, because we may from time to time take things for granted, but God has a way of reminding us, hey, it's me that has blessed you with these things. God has a way of bringing that back to our attention periodically. And so we find ourselves going to the Lord and we thank him for these things. And we begin to thank him, I believe, more than anything. The hearts of those who are saved, they cry out in praise to God and thanks to God for what he's done for us on the inside, how that he has blessed our souls. And I know it's with me, I know it's this way, I'm persuaded that it's this way with all of us, that when we begin to thank God for these things, we end up at the point where more than anything, we give him thanks for the salvation of our soul, because that's the greatest thing that's ever happened to any of us. But I want you to think about this morning, about how that when we are doing that we ought to always be giving God thanks also for those people that he has brought into our lives. And I could think of many people today, and perhaps, I don't know, perhaps Laban could have thought of more people, but I could think of many people today that I could truly say that my life has been blessed by having known this person. My life has been made better for having been around this person or that person. And I want you to know today in the onset of this that my objective today is not to exalt men. My objective today is not to exalt people, because God is the one that is worthy of exaltation. God is the one that's worthy of being praised. But you know, there are things that happen in our lives, and there are people that God brings into our lives that are not, it's not just an accident. You know, we know that God has great providential care over our lives. He directs his providence before us. And so I want you to think about that, of those who have touched your life in different ways and in special ways, and how that we ought to give thanks unto them. And I'm going to ask you a question at this time, and then I'm going to hopefully before I am finished today, explain to you why that I asked that question. But those of you that are members of the church here at Fairview Memorial, how many of you today would be willing to raise your hand and acknowledge the fact that it was God that placed you in this body? That God led you here, that God put you here. And I want you to keep that in mind as I speak a little bit further. But I want to share several verses, because in this that I'm talking about today, the Apostle Paul, and I left my little book that I brought somewhere, it must be on the back seat, but the Apostle Paul, he had a tendency, when he wrote his epistles, he had a tendency to generally, in the very opening the first few lines that he would write to different people, he would have a tendency to tell them how thankful that he was to God for them. And you notice that that's characteristic of the Apostle Paul's epistles, of his writings. And so let's look at some of these verses in Romans, in his writing to the Romans, in Romans chapter 1, verse 8. Paul said, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, in his writing of his epistle to the Corinthians, he said, "I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ." In his epistle to the Ephesians, in chapter 1, verses 15 and 16, Paul said, "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." In his epistle to the Philippians, in Philippians chapter 1, verse 3, Paul wrote to the Philippians and he said, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." In his epistle to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, "We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all saints." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience in hope of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father." Now, do you remember reading about there in 1 Kings? Do you remember about reading about how that Elijah had reached a point at one time where he began to think that he was the only one left that was really serving God? You know, he came before the Lord there and he told the Lord what all the other people had done. And he said, I alone am left and they seek my life also. I mean, he thought he was the only one left that was, you know, standing up for the Lord. And God made it known to him that he had reserved thousands, that he had reserved 7,000 that had not bowed their knee to Baal. Elijah wasn't the only one that had not bowed his knee unto Baal. He wasn't alone. And I think that in these epistles, when I read the things that Paul wrote, I think that he was giving thanks to God that he wasn't the only one. Paul realized he wasn't the only one that was trying to serve God. And I'll tell you what, that was not a healthy attitude for Elijah to have. And I'm glad that God straightened him out and let him know, "Listen, Elijah, you're not the only one that's left serving God." Sometimes, you know, as people and sometimes as churches, there have been churches that have become guilty of that. There have been missionary Baptist churches that have really, they have really hindered their church by secluding themselves and thinking, "We're the only church that's left that's really standing up for the truth and really doing what's right." But listen, God is a whole lot bigger than that, isn't he? God's a lot bigger than that. And I think that Fairview Memorial is a church that is, striving to serve the Lord and do the Lord's work, but we're not the only ones serving God, are we? And I'm thankful today to know that there are others that have the same faith that we have. And I believe that's what made Paul so thankful for these churches that he wrote to. You know, I gave thanks for you from the very moment that I heard of the faith that you had also in the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the news that came to me about how that you were honoring God and how that you were serving God, then I bowed my knees to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ and gave thanks to him for you. I think that all of us here today could, we could think of people in our lives. Maybe some of them are still with us, and maybe some of them have already finished their course and gone to be with God. But we could think of people in our lives that have passed through and that have touched us in a special way. And you could think today about, and I have done this before, and you could think today about the people that God chose. Because like I said, I don't believe that the things that happen in our lives don't just happen by accident. And you could think about those people that God chose to be your parents. About those that God chose to be your grandparents. And I thank God today for the people that brought the gospel to me. I think back about many of them, and there are many of them that have already laid down the walks of this life and gone to be with God, and they have a place in my memory. They have a place in my life, and they occupied a very special place in my life when I was just a boy. Some of them today I can still, in my mind and in my memory, I can still see their faces. And I can remember their prayers, and I can, some of them I can almost, and it's been a long time ago, and some of them I can almost look back and even remember the happy smile on their face when they would be singing the songs of Zion and praising the Lord, and the effect that it was having upon me when I was just a young boy. And I can, I have told you before, I thank God for allowing me to have this faculty of mine that's called memory, because I've got some good ones. I've got some special memories from my life. And I'm not just talking about preachers. And you know, when I was a boy and I grew up in a Missionary Baptist Church, and I mean, I was like everybody else. There were preachers during that time that, you know, that preached sermons, and I heard them preach sermons when I was lost. And I'm not just giving thanks to God today for preachers. I'm talking about those, everybody that brought the gospel to me. I'm thankful for those that showed up, that assembled themselves together, that gave of their time, that gave of their resources, gave of their money, that kept the church building open, that kept the lights burning, that kept things going so that we could come there and we could meet and we could have church services. And I'm thankful for the many old sisters. I've testified to you about them before, and the difference and the impact that they made on my life, for the way that they would talk to me about my soul and the love that they showed to me, and the concern that I'll tell you what, folks, listen, no matter who you encounter in your life, whatever the situation is, there's just something that makes us to be able to know when someone is genuine and someone is true. I mean, there's just, you know, someone that genuinely cares about you, someone that truly loves you, someone that has your best interest at heart rather than theirs, somebody that's trying to do something for you because it's you that they are concerned about. Those things have a way of touching you in a way that you're able to know that there's something real to what this person is trying to do for me. At least that's been my experience. I think oftentimes, I think it's the way that it was with Jesus there in that big crowd that day. when that woman believed that if she could just touch the hem of his garment, that she could be healed. And so here was the Lord in this great crowd of people, and someone reaches out and touches him, and he asks the question of his disciples, "Who touched me?" And they said, "Lord, we're here in this great big throng, this great big crowd of people. There's people all around you. There's people pressing into you. And you want us to tell you who it was that touched you?" But listen, Jesus wasn't just asking them who it was that had touched him physically. He knew that somebody had touched him in a very special way, didn't he? He knew that somebody had reached out to him in faith and touched his garment, believing that he could heal them. And I'm glad that one day that God enabled me. I could have never been saved if he had not enabled me. If God had not granted me repentance, if God had not granted me that faith, I could have never been saved. And I'm thankful that one night in my life that God enabled me and gave me the grace to be able to reach out and touch him in faith. Of all that I've ever met in my life, more than anything, I'm glad that along my journey that I came to know the Lord. I can think, of a lot of special people in my life, and of course, had I not met them, I would have never known it. But knowing what I know now, I can think, it would have been a tragedy for me if I would have never been allowed to know that person. But what a tragedy to have never known Jesus. We're all replaceable and we're all forgettable. But nobody can ever replace Jesus. And nobody can ever do what he has done for us that have been saved. In 1 Samuel chapter 18, and I know that some of you ladies understand this about, I don't know, maybe some of you men knit too, but I know that some of you ladies know about knitting. You take that big needle and you knit, and you're taking this string or thread or whatever it is, and you're binding it together, and you're taking something and you're knitting, and you're making something that turns into a big piece of cloth, and it's strong, and it's bound, it's been knit together. Well, the Bible tells us about God having done that with the souls of two men. And if you look in 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 1, David had been speaking unto Saul, and it says, "And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit unto the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul." And you know what I believe from the teachings of God's word, that as a church, that's the way that God would have us to love one another. That God would have us to be thankful one for another. And I asked you, earlier in the message, how many of you believe that the Lord led you here? How many of you believe that God placed you in this body? And I saw a lot of hands that went up. And so when we think of that, when we think of how that we are here together and we are members of that same body, we are members of that same local church, we have to realize that we are among people that God put us together with. It wasn't just a chance meeting. It wasn't something that happened by accident. But God tempers members into the body as it pleases Him. And God is the one that builds up that spiritual house. And so we have to understand that and realize that in order, I believe, to be truly as thankful for each other as we would, we have to realize that we are here with people that God has placed us with, that God has brought into our lives. And the Bible tells us to cherish that by being willing to endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace and to be willing to forbear one another. Now, think about David and Jonathan, their souls being knit together, their souls being joined together, and only God can do that. Only God can bring two people together like that. But their souls being joined together, that Jonathan loved the soul of David as he loved his own soul. And that's exactly what the scriptures teach us concerning the people of God. You know what? Jesus gave his people, Jesus gave his church a tall order indeed. And that was, he commanded his church to love one another as he had loved them. I'll tell you what, you go back and you think about the things that are written in the Old Testament. You go back and you read about the law, and you read about the ceremonial law, and you read about the civil law, and you read oftentimes about the standards that the law held people to, and we think, well, goodness sakes, wouldn't you hate to live under that? But I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ held his church accountable to the highest law that has ever been given to men, because love is the fulfilling of all the law. The commandment to love each other as he has loved us is the highest law that man could ever receive. Jesus has held us to the highest standard that any people on earth have ever been held to. His church has been held to the highest standard of all, to love each other. And aren't you glad that that exists? I mean, aren't you thankful that to be among people? I'll tell you what, folks, I just want to share this with you. You know, sometimes, you know, on certain occasions, sometimes I get people here at church send me such beautiful, send my wife and I such beautiful cards. And we read them, and we're so humbled by them, and we're so moved by them. And we sit and we read them, and you know, people will make statements, you know, I'm so thankful for you, and I'm so thankful that God brought you and Sister Shirley this way. And I'll tell you what, I can tell you honestly today, I'm the one that's blessed. And my wife would tell you the same thing, and I have no reservation saying that. We are the ones that feel blessed. God has brought you into our lives, and we're thankful for that. And you know, when you think about, I didn't know years ago when God called me to preach, I didn't have a clue. I didn't have, from that moment that God called me to preach and I acknowledged to my church that God had called me to preach, I didn't have a clue where that would lead me. I didn't have any idea in the world where that would take me. But I thank God for the path that he has laid out before me. And I want to encourage all of my preacher brothers today, listen, you just follow the Lord and you go when God, the Spirit of God moves upon your heart to go somewhere. somewhere, you just pack up and you go. And God's going to bless you for that. And he's going to bring people in your life that's just going to make you say, thank God. Thank God that I had the privilege. The book I was talking about, I hope it's here somewhere. I brought it this morning. My wife says I lose everything. And she's right. I lose my keys and my wallet and everything else. But in 1984, Brother Dale Compton, I don't know, some of you may know Brother Compton, Elder Dale Compton. He sent me a book. I was on the mission field. One day I got a package in the mail, and I opened it, and it was this little book, little brown, tan-covered book, and the title said Christian Doctrines by J.M. Pendleton. And I read that book. I wore the pages out. I read that book from cover to cover. Read it over and over again. Brother Compton wrote a little handwritten short note in the front of the book, said, may God bless your labors, Dale Compton. And I began to read that book, and I began to read the wonderful writings that Brother Pendleton had written. But when I opened it, I noticed in the very beginning of it that he had written a little bitty acknowledgement in the first of it. And at the end of that, he wrote and he said, I would not be entirely forgotten. He said, my days are swiftly passing and soon I shall be numbered with the dead. I would not be entirely forgotten when I die. However, my desire of posthumous fame comes within very narrow limits and is only this, that I would that those when kindness would prompt them to visit my grave, that they may simply thank God that I lived. And I read it. And I read his book. And I read his book. And I read his book. Never knew him. He was here and gone before I was ever in the world. But one time when I was down here in March, one time when I had come down here to attend the Old Union Minister School, probably in the late 80s, somewhere around there, I went over to the Fairview Cemetery one day. I walked up to his grave. I thought about his wonderful teachings that he left behind in his little book. And there I stood before his grave, and I gave God thanks that he had lived. There's people that I've loved that have already passed through this life. And sometimes I miss them so much. But I give God thanks that they lived. I give God thanks that he brought them into my life. There's people that are still here that I thank God that the Lord has brought that person into my life. I thank God that there was a time when I was just a young man that I met Shirley, and I thank God still today, I thank God that he brought her into my life. And don't take people for granted. Don't take people for granted. And I want to say this to you children that are here today. If you have parents or grandparents, whatever the case may be, if you have somebody that loves you enough to expose you to the gospel, that loves you enough to bring you to church, that loves you enough to bring you into the presence of the people of God, you ought to give God thanks for the blessing that He has bestowed upon your life. And I'll tell you what I believe will one day happen. And I don't know when it will be or how it will happen, but I believe something that will one day happen. I believe that there will come a time, if it hasn't already, I believe there will come a time when the young lady that was saved here a few weeks ago, Lindsay, I believe there will come a time when she'll say, you know what? I thank God that I went to school with Maddie Jo. And I think there's people in our lives that we can say, you know what? I thank God that I was in that person's company because they had an influence on my life. They touched me in a special way. And so that's my message. That's my message. I think that, you know, sometimes we may just get involved in what people call the rat race. Sometimes we may come and get involved so much in the rat race of life that we pass people by. And sometimes we just don't give the flowers that we ought to give. There were people when I came here, to be your pastor. There were people that I met, and I just got to know them for just a short time. The only Brother Reese, the only time I ever met him was out in the nursing home. He was already in the nursing home when I came. But you know what? I'm thankful to God that I got to meet him. I've heard people here at the church talk so much about Brother Turner, and I never got to meet him. But I'll tell you what, from everything I've heard, I wish I could have. I wish I would have had the privilege of knowing him. But, given the fact that I didn't, and like I said, given the fact that I never knew J.M. Pendleton, but I'm glad that he lived, and I'm glad for the things that he did for the Lord. And whether, there's going to be people that will never meet us. If time goes on, there's going to be people that will never have met us. But hopefully, by the help of God, we can still do something that will impact their life, you know, even after we're gone. And blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. And if God, the things that God has blessed you with, the people that He has brought you into your life that you know, like Jacob did, or like Laban did rather, that God has blessed you for knowing them, you ought to give thanks. And from time to time, just let people know how special that they are to you. There's nothing wrong with giving flowers. There is something wrong a lot of times when you miss the opportunity, because the next thing you know, that person may be gone and you've got regrets. And so when my earthly father was, when it became apparent to us that he just wasn't going to get better, not very long before he died, I went to his house one day. I sat down with him there in his living room, and I just was there to tell him something very short, and very simple. And I just sat down there with him in his living room and I said, Dad, I just came by to tell you that I love you. That's all I wanted to say to you today. I just want you to know that I love you. And I'll never forget, after he passed away, there was a day that it came to me and I thought, you know what? I'm so glad that I went. I'm so glad that I went and told him that day. I'm glad that I didn't have to live with the regret that, you know, well, I should have that day, but I got too busy and I didn't do it. I'm glad that I went. And, you know, things that we sometimes like that, things that we fail to do, we end up having big regrets over them. And so, but that's the thoughts that the Lord gave me to share with you today. But more than anything, listen, more than anything, make sure that you don't pass through this life without coming to know the Lord Jesus. Because that's going to be the great tragedy, and that's going to be the great loss. So I would like for us to have a song, stand and have a song. If you're here today and you're lost, you need to come to the Lord Jesus and seek Him and be saved.